I'm pleased to welcome back to the WBGO Journal great friends of the radio station, Emmy-nominated, award-winning husband and wife team, social justice filmmakers from Newark, Mary Lou and Jerome Bongiorno, here to talk about their latest project, Illuminations, Short Films of Discovery. The four short fiction films will be screened later this week at the 505 Cinema in Montclair. Also joining us to talk about the films, John Curley. John joins us on the phone. He's a senior university lecturer at NJIT and a poet. He'll be a special commentator on the Friday night screening at Cinema 505. We're thrilled to have all three of you joining us today. Mary Lou, Illuminations, Short Films of Discovery, Anguish, Hearing Voices, Glassworks, and Motherland. Tell us more.
Well, all four are inspired by Arthur Rimbaud's prose poems called Illuminations. And I had this volume on my shelf for many years and finally picked it up and was blown away by the beauty of these mostly prose poems. And each one of these short films, including Anguish in particular, are inspired by that collection. So there is a poem called Anguish, and our actors not only read the poem and perform it during the course of the short film, but it's also the subject of their anguish.
Is it possible that she will forgive me for continually crushing ambitions? That an affluent end will make amends for ages of poverty? What do you think?
What do you think?
Still trying to figure this thing out.
It's not a thing.
I know, it's a poem, a highly evocative song of beauty. You're right. What?
Stephen, put the phone away and pay attention
to
what you're doing.
I am paying attention.
It doesn't look that way.
Well, you translated it. For continually crushing ambitions? I mean, what is that? Is that the speaker's fault? Me? Am I crushing ambitions? Or is it like some muse in his life isn't providing him enough inspiration anymore?
The feature actors in all these are alumni of NYU's Tisch grad acting program, the Yale School of Drama, the Juilliard School. You really pick some up-and-coming actors in some very terrific programs.
Absolutely. We're inspired by them because their talents are many, and they're disciplined, they're coming out of rigorous training programs, and they bring all of this energy to the performance. It was a real joy to work with them.
Jerome, you've had several films that we've talked about here on the WBGO Journal through the years. What makes these short films different than maybe Revolution 67 and the wonderful documentary that you had about St. Benedict's Prep? What was the most challenging part of these four?
Well, we like to put into a fictional context the topics that we've been working on in our documentaries, you know, like poverty. You know, that's a big topic that we focus on, especially Newark poverty. You know, you see that in Revolution 67 and The Rule. But these shorts also allow us to work with other topics like politics, religion, war, trauma, disease, and how to, you know, and it gets us to fold them into a narrative. And we also use these shorts. It also gets us to work with talented actors. But these sketches, especially for me, ultimately give us the opportunity to work with blocking and camera coverage. And, you know, for those who enjoy filmmaking, we were very inspired by Alfred Hitchcock's Rope and practically all of Eric Rohmer's films. So for these shorts, we've been planning out our blocking and coverage in advance. And this generates much less coverage than we used to get in the past. And, of course, less coverage means that you're getting more of a stylized and less generic edit. And, of course, not having tons of coverage can be dangerous, but it forces us to really think about the pacing of the film in advance and have a final concept before we shoot. So these shorts do a lot for us.
Also, as the years have gone by and the success is known about the Bongiornos, has it been easier to get some of these showings now that the fact that you've been on PBS with your shows and people know your work? Is it easier to go to somebody and say, hey, you know, we've done this film. Are you interested in it?
Absolutely. And also, Hearing Voices was a commission. So we're moving into fictional film being directly commissioned, which is a very big deal for us. And so we're looking at keeping creative control, Doug, which you know is very important to us. We have Final Cut, but also getting not only working out our chops, as Jerome mentioned, but also getting support and And Montclair Cinema 505, I have to mention, has been incredibly supportive of us in showing The Black Monk a year ago and having in this wonderful space an opportunity to share our films and preview them for the community.
And one of the benefits of having a local production is that you can have some experts come in to help you talk about how this film is relevant. And joining us, as I mentioned, on the phone is John Curley. John not only is a poet, but a senior university lecturer at NJIT and will be a special commentator on the Friday screening on August 10th. And that, once again, will be at Cinema 505. John, thanks for being here. Why did you want to participate in this?
Well, so many reasons, one of which I have long been an admirer of De Bongiorno's work, have had the opportunity, the honor even, to collaborate with them. And, you know, we poets have to be propagandists for our craft, and so seeing any kind of poetic manifestation, however repurposed, we're always supporting that, and especially this rich cinematic approach.
As a poet yourself, what are your thoughts about Rimbaud's acclaimed illuminations?
It's startling that here's someone that ended his poetic career at the age of 21. I had barely picked up a pen and started scrawling my lines. But what's really incredible about these prose poems is that they really give a sense of contingency and a sense of competing claims, trying to come up with some kind of notion of identity. And, you know, Rimbaud famously wrote, "Je est un autre," I am another. And so to see his poetic contributions all of a sudden filter through the Bongiorno's filmmaking and their narratives really opens up the poems in new ways. And I don't think that you could do the same kind of really widely imaginative treatment if you were, say, to take a Robert Frost Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening, or Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven, or Elizabeth Bishop's The Fish. You know, talk about illumination. Here we have films that are able to allow the constellations of Rimbaud's words to all of a sudden exist in, you know, many, many different atmospheres and contexts. And that's always exciting to see how you can, as Pound said, Ezra Pound, make it new, make it new, make it new.
So on the Friday night coming up, you have the opportunity to be a commentator. Will they be able to ask you questions as well?
Absolutely. Ask the poet anything you wish.
Ah, very good. So we look forward to your presentation on Friday, August 10th, there in Montclair at Cinema 505. Now let's head into the second film, which, when we're talking about ghosts talking, that always piques my interest. But Jerome, I'll let you set up Hearing Voices.
Well, Hearing Voices is a story. It's actually, we take a look at the ghosts of General Giuseppe Garibaldi and inventor Antonio Meucci. They actually come back from the dead, and they hash out their respective legacies of Italian unification and the invention of the telephone. And then they debate the bigger question of why do we fight? You know, why did Garibaldi fight? Why did Meucci, you know, fight for a long time over his patents and trying to invent the telephone first?
Why do we fight?
But what are you saying?
Well, I know why, but how could you even ask that question?
Should 25 million people who spoke Italian dialects, practiced the same religion, descended from the same and greatest empire in the history of man, be denied one more moment of its rightful place in the sun?
A whole peninsula. Islands, 723 miles of olives, lemons, grapes.
Vineyards.
Ah, il vino.
Seven states united within the same century.
Century? More like 11 years, my friend. 1859 to 1870. Boom, done.
It was magnificent. One of the most impressive political and military achievements of the 19th century.
Of all time.
First Lombardy, then the two Sicilies and the Papal States.
Then Venezia.
And then Roma. My God. How is that even possible?
Providence, my fellow Freemason. Right?
See.
I'm telling you, Providence was looking down on us every second, my dear Antonio. And then...
And then what?
And then... How could you forget? Man's greatest achievement, the telephone?
No.
Only we could do those things.
The next film was shot right here in Newark. Glassworks, shot at Glassroots in Newark. Mary Lou, obviously a great choice for the scene of this film.
Absolutely. What I was always fascinated, how could you make a movie called or on the theme of Illuminations and not include this incredible glass works here in Newark at Glassroots? So not only were we fortunate enough to get secure that location and actually see the glass making process, but also one of the glass artisans happens to be an actor. And so Malcolm Murano is starring in this film, who is on his way to do a doctorate in philosophy at Harvard. We caught him at the absolute perfect time. And he, along with Annie Fox from NYU's graduate acting program, brought this to life.
Hi.
Hi.
I didn't see you there. I'm Cole.
Hi. I'm Ellen. Can I help you something?
Yeah. I'd like to learn, I don't know, maybe glass making.
Well, you've come to the right place. Can I ask why you're interested?
I don't know. well, actually, I'm just back from Afghanistan, and I need a change.
Okay. Well, this is a change.
Can I ask why you're here?
Well, I guess I just needed a change too. So, beginner classes meet on Tuesdays.
I'm not good around people.
What?
I said I'm not good around people.
Okay.
So I read in the window, and on your site, it says private lessons?
Yes. A private instructor is more expensive, though.
Okay, well, how much do you cost?
I charge $95 an hour. That's per lesson.
Okay, when can we start?
With solid water or ice. When you heat ice up, it becomes a liquid. There's no in-between. Water is either in a liquid state or it's in an immovable solid state. Glass, on the other hand, when you heat it up, it can get the consistency of really thick paint. And as it cools, it becomes like saltwater taffy. And this is when you can really work with it.
How exciting it must be for these actors to, you know, to be in this kind of Illuminations setting where they really get to show their depth as an actor. When you're on the screen and it's two people, you're carrying the, you know, you're carrying it. There's nobody helping out there. There's nobody. So it really is a testament to their abilities.
Yeah, well, that's why you get try to get the best actors possible. I mean, for Giuseppe Garibaldi, we had Tim Nicolai from NYU acting school, and Tony Manna from
Yale School of Drama.
Yale School of Drama. And these guys are great. And, you know, you want them to bring themselves and their acting ability to the roles. I mean, you know, that's why you get them.
So how did you find them, first of all?
Well, some came through recommendations of casting people. Others, I directly went to the schools, the acting schools, and they graciously put out ads for these actors to audition, which was really a wonderful process because you can then interact directly. You're not dealing usually with agents and other people, which sometimes when you're doing low-budget filmmaking becomes a handicap. So just by reaching out directly, and I should mention Anguish, two fabulous actors also. So it's Sean Patrick Higgins from Yale School of Drama and Anna Tulis from the Juilliard School. So they were very capable of performing Shakespeare and bringing parts of that. We actually included that in the writing just to showcase their many, many talents.
We're talking about Illuminations, short films of discovery, being screened at Cinema 505 in Montclair on Bloomfield Avenue this coming Thursday and Friday nights. And joining us are the Emmy-nominated, award-winning filmmakers from Newark, Mary Lou and Jerome Bongiorno, as well as John Curley, who is the senior university lecturer at NJIT and a poet, and he'll be a special commentator on the Friday night screening at Cinema 505. The last film we haven't talked about yet is Motherland.
Motherland is a project that we have nurtured over a great period of time and that we see as a fictional feature film. So the basic story is that you have a young woman who's been adopted, and the Benedictine nun that has raised her as part of their community, going head-to-head over a very difficult topic, which is the young woman's desire to go back and reclaim her roots in Ghana. And without giving away what the story's subplot is, I won't say, but it is a very dangerous path that she's undertaking. So the two of them are able to hash this out. And what was exciting for us is not only filming on location at the Monastery of St. Walburga, a magnificent location in Elizabeth, New Jersey, with the Benedictine community there, the sisters also acted as consultants, helping us even choose and finalize the title of this short film. So having their expertise, not only reading the script, but looking at everything from costuming to the context that we were filming in. And when you see the short film, you see the beauty of this location where these two women are able to have a discussion, a very serious discussion.
What about our casting out of the devil? Our casting out of evil spirits?
The fuel of witchcraft is fear and evil, while the fuel of Christianity is love. Besides, witchcraft is bogus.
It can't be. The Bible condemns anyone who casts spells.
Yes, that's what I mean.
It condemns witchcraft, but it doesn't say it's bogus. If it was bogus, then the Bible wouldn't need to condemn it. The Bible is just saying that the practice has real consequences and that the practice is detestable to God. And if I'm a witch myself, then...
Oh, Jesus, Anna, don't go there.
Go where? Practice witchcraft? Why would I? If God doesn't want it, then neither do I.
Fikile Khani is from South Africa. She's also a recent graduate of NYU's graduate acting program. So she plays the young woman. And then the Benedictine nun is played by an actress, a wonderful actress here from Montclair, Rachel Black Spaulding. So they were joys to work with. And I should also mention that we work with animated storyboards. So it poses a challenge sometimes for actors because we share this with them. And Jerome can best explain that. But all of these actors were very game to try this novel approach to filmmaking.
Yeah, I mean, we use a software that, you know, you plug in your script and you have these sort of avatars or puppets speak out the dialogue. And then you move them around a room and you use that to basically compose your blocking and your camera angles. And then you bring it to the set. You know, you're completely prepared at the beginning of the day. You know what shots you want to get. You know what the actors are going to do. And then you can really fine tune them. But of course, you know, you still need great actors. And, you know an actor is great when their quiet moments are interesting, you know. And that's why we work with these guys and working with the software. It's a lot of fun.
And since Motherland is the last film that we're showing that night, they will be shown in sequence with a little black separating them, and then we'll have John's discussion and Q&A. But we will be showing a short clip where there's a side-to-side juxtaposition of the animated footage with the live-action footage, so anyone who's interested in that can see how the software is used.
John, what about the Bongiorno's filmmaking attracted you to their... not only this project, but I know you've been a fan of their work for a long time.
All of their work is consistent in terms of not only their novel approach. Every, you know, force evolves a form, and they have a certain kind of alchemy together that just doesn't seem to be anything but out of this world when it comes to other filmmakers who are embracing, as the Bongiornos do, really astute historical and political context, both past and present. And that's why when you have this kind of cross-hatching of arts, it really sort of enlivens this poet's heart, because getting back to the name of the final film, Motherland, Newark is a motherland. And when I think of the work of the late, great Amiri Baraka, he basically did not differentiate art. And so, you know, you write your poems, you make your films, you do your plays, you do your music. It's all unified in finding creative ways of connecting those different so-called art forms is something really miraculous at times. And I think that the Bongiornos do so on a local, national, and international context. And so, yeah, I've just been a fan since Revolution 67, and just extraordinary work.
John, being being a lecturer at NJIT and a poet, you have seen through the years how the city of Newark has always been so rich in history when it comes to musicians and artists. We see a whole new, approach to art here and a lot of talented people. What is it about this city that you think sparks this kind of great creativity?
I do not know, and I've been seeking an answer to that, Doug, since I was 13 years old and discovered Amiri Baraka, Leroy Jones's work in the local college library in a sleepy southeastern New England town. But there is an enchantment and I guess with the artists and citizens alike, an entrenchment in that city, and it's something that is incredibly rare, and I've been trying to figure out why, a colossus like New York City no longer carries for me the same kind of artistic possibility as Newark. But Newark, as you say, has always been on the map, but I think that map, especially with all these different kinds of art forms percolating in the here and now and into the future, will really yield some incredibly vibrant works.
So, final question for our filmmakers today. What would you want the average person leaving Cinema 505 to be talking about, to be thinking about as they leave the theater?
Probably that words are sometimes used for sound rather than meaning.
That's a line from Hitchcock's film Rope, which we love, and that's also been used to describe Rambo. I was sharing that with Jerome this morning, that these are very sensory and evocative pieces, and we hope to have conveyed that. It was our goal to convey that in the film. You will be talking about a lot of social justice issues in all of these, so we want people just to talk, to have a discussion about everything that they've seen. And without giving too much away, on Motherland, there is a very, very interesting subplot there that deals with contemporary issues and social justice.
Oh, yeah. Make no mistake. These are arguments. These are logical arguments between two people in each short. And it evolves. And there is a beginning, a middle, and an end to each one of them. But the question is, the person that's watching it is, who do they agree with? Who do they side with? And what new information has been introduced to them through watching this short?
You get two opportunities to see Illumination Short Films of Discovery in Montclair at Cinema 505 this coming Thursday at 7:30 and this coming Friday, August 10th at 7:30. We want to thank John Curley, the senior university lecturer at NJIT and famous poet, for joining us. Thanks, John. We look forward to your talk on Friday night.
Doug, thank you so much. I look forward to it so much.
Emmy-nominated, award-winning husband and wife team, Mary Lou and Jerome Bongiorno. Always a pleasure to see both of you. Thanks for your great work.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank
and
you.
I'm going to leave you with a line from Rambo, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
But the vampire who makes us behave directs us to be amused with what she leaves us, or else we have to amuse ourselves.